Welcome back, everybody, to the third edition of Sports 360. I am your host, R. Wilcox, and with me I've got my pal...
John Holiday,
J. Holiday for short, because he's cool.
Twitter handle.
Hey, look him up. J. Holiday, 97, right?
All right.
97. Is that the year you were born, or is that like your GPA right now?
Oh.
Wait, what? That doesn't even... GPA is really high.
Yeah, that's the year I was born.
Okay, cool. Mine's R underscore Will Fox. That's because this guy in Utah was running for senator, and I guess he had the same name as me and took R.
Ugh,
Wilcox.
That is the worst.
And I was pretty upset. So then I changed it up to Will Fox, and it's been like that since 2011.
Stuck ever since. All right, today we're going to mix up things. We're not going to start with the
mix up.
We're going to spice things up. It's the variety of life, I've heard.
Yeah.
So, we're going to stay local in the first part of this podcast.
Yeah.
We're going to start with the RVC sports. Beginning with the volleyball women. Good things from that team.
Yay! Finally.
Yeah, the women wins 3 straight games over Triton College, Oakton Community College, and Moraine Valley College. Question here is...
They're on fire.
Heat check?
Oh, yeah.
Heat check?
Oh, yeah. They're doing real good. They've got 4 games left in the season, and their biggest competitor, their biggest challenge up to date is what's coming up. They're playing against Harper Community College, and they're number one in the NJCAA.
With a record of 21-4.
They're good.
That's going to be hard to beat. But,
and Rock Valley lost earlier to them this season, 3-0. They didn't win a set at all. So we're excited, though, looking at that scores. They're finally above 500. They've got some good momentum, and they could definitely close off the season on a high streak.
It's going to be 21-5 real quick. I mean, you know what? You can't teach heart. You can't teach clutch. That's something you're born with.
That's true.
That's in your mind, man.
And these ladies got it.
Yeah, they got the
mindset. They're turning around their season.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Fly the W.
Someone that, you know, we'll get to that in a little bit. Someone was upset on national media days ago and said some wonderful things.
Yeah, made the headlines.
Yeah. So in our realm, in our woods, men's soccer has not been faring well. They had a nice record. They were 6-2-2, and they look to fare better than they did last year.
Hitting a bit of a rough patch right now.
Yes, that's a light way to say it. No. They've lost 5 straight. They're now 6-7-1, and I believe I saw on the Twitters.
Twitter sphere.
The Twitters. Never mind. I can't say that.
Not safe for work.
That they're now out of playoff contention.
Oh,
so
what a bummer.
That is a bummer.
Man.
After they did really well last year.
Right.
But to keep our hopes up, the ladies soccer realm, they're awesome. They're on a 2-game winning streak. Their record is 8-3-2. In their last games, their last game is against Joliet Junior College, which the ladies beat earlier this season 1-0. So,
which obviously gives you some confidence heading into this game. I mean, knowing that you won last time, 1-0.
So. Oh, yeah, for sure. In that they're in a pretty good position for the playoffs for the NJCAA.
Everyone loves playoffs. I mean, who doesn't love playoffs?
Or is it NJC? NCJAA?
Oh, no, man. It's definitely NJCAA.
National Junior Colleges. Yeah, okay, there we go.
Junior College.
Okay,
yeah.
Sorry. It kind of reminds me of the QMHJL, like the Quebec Major, the Quebec Minor Major League. I thought
you were going to say the NCAAP or, you know.
You,
no.
it's hard to remember. But the ladies are doing really good on both sides, volleyball and soccer.
Hope they can stay hot. Yep.
I think.
Continue the streak.
It'll be a test of their grit for the volleyball team. Mm-hmm. To see if they can tackle on and beat Harper Community College. But on the other hand, I know that the lady soccer program looks good, has been good for a while, and I'm excited to see how they wrap up their season against Joliet Junior.
Yeah, I think the playoffs are definitely within their future.
And it's fun to cheer them on. I don't have the schedule in front of me, but I believe one of the games is played here.
Awesome.
One of the regional matches is played here.
Awesome.
Don't quote me on that. Don't at me. If you're going to at me at @r_Wilcox. I'll definitely reply.
Yeah. Hit that blue button while you're in.
Hit that blue button. But yeah, they look good, and I'm really excited for what the program's got coming up, especially with the men's and women's volleyball gearing up. We're about to have some good times here.
We got some spring sports coming up.
For sure.
Moving on. I mean, that's refreshing to start with something else that isn't, you know.
And it's positive.
Positive, yeah.
Something that was hard for a lot of people in Northern Illinois, Midwest, bandwagon people is...
Don't start. Nope. Nope.
I'm going to let you take a deep breath here. Because I had to go through this last week.
I know where you're feeling. I know what you're feeling now. I have the perspective.
And that was final.
Yeah, that's true.
You guys still have a chance, but Chicago...
That's what makes it worse, is it's a series. It's the anticipation and not knowing what's... I mean, one game is easy.
No, it wasn't. I had jitters for 4 days before the game.
Oh, man. Series are way harder. Hot take.
No.
Yes.
Series are not way harder, because that's the true test of a team is over the course of 5, 7, 3, however
right.
games there are, your team has a chance to prove their mettle 3 times to see who's the best. And it's not a fluke like the NFL. Oh, no, we're just going to play one game. No. Baseball, the wild card. That was a ripoff, okay, for me, not just because I'm a totally biased Rockies fan.
Right.
That was a ripoff because the Dodgers, hot take, wouldn't have won to go to the NLCS if the Rockies were in position. And I'm still waiting for the Rockies to be reinstated because #NotMyPlayoffs, Arizona's been fined with an undisclosed amount of money for their
Ooh.
Apple Watch usage during that game.
Okay.
And if you remember anything about that game, it was weird that 4 pitchers in a row got homers bounced off of them.
Hmm.
I'm still miffed.
Well, the truth of the matter is, and I'll have to respectfully disagree, is, you know,
I'm going to have to respectfully disagree.
Perfect examples. Cubs last year, Yankees this year against the Indians.
Okay.
You know, you can be down 2-1 or 2-0 and come back and win, you know, the whole series. That's the true test. This is the crucible and rite of passage for a team.
Gosh.
This is the crucible of a team to come back from being down 2 games and to win the series to move on and beat a team that reached 100 wins.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the that has the AL winning streak or the longest winning streak in AL history. I just think I can see it from your perspective.
Series are better than wild card one game
right.
wonders.
Yeah.
Because look at Arizona. Oh, they're going to have all this, you know, momentum. They got swept by the Dodgers.
Yeah, which I was going to say, that speaks to how good, I mean, as good as a playoff contender and the NL, one of the best NL teams,
mm-hmm.
it just speaks to volumes of how good the Dodgers are if they can sweep them 3-0
yeah.
before moving on, you know.
They're good.
I mean, I think most people can see them in the World Series, but
before we touch the Cubs game, okay, Yankees versus the Indians last night was the other game that was able to play and not the
right. I
mean, the rain out from 2 days ago. Yankees beat the Indians 5-2 and won the series 3-2.
Question here is this surprising? No, because Cleveland did it last year against the Cubs and they did it again this year. So it's 2 back-to-back seasons with blown leads. You know,
the Indians didn't play the Cubs last year.
No, in the World Series.
Oh no! Oh yeah. Sorry. My bad. Then we just talked about the Dodgers versus Arizona sweep. Astros beat the Red Sox to take their series to 3-1, and then something happened the day after that really surprised me. Boston fired their manager.
Oh yeah.
Farrell, after 5 seasons. They were the World Series champs in 2013. Then they suffered losing seasons in 14 and 15. And then finally had back-to-back seasons where they had 93 wins in AL East clinches. So I was surprised that after the team that they had put together for this season that they turned around and was, nope, we're not having this with you anymore. And he had one more year left on his contract. He had a 6-year
right.
contract.
You couldn't just wait, you know.
Yeah, so I was pretty surprised with that. And the people that I read in an ESPN article that were in the running for the next GM, or not GM, but manager, weren't really flattering to the team. Hmm. It's like ex-Cubs, ex-White Sox managers, and I was like...
Gotcha. What's going on here? Yeah.
Sure, okay.
That is surprising with the World Series champs and then back-to-back ALS clinches, you know. I mean, no one likes a losing season, especially back-to-back, but, I mean, regardless, you know.
But then they won back-to-back
right.
with a pretty good record
right.
and took care of their division. So baseball is weird.
Baseball is weird.
Baseball is weird.
One question I have to ask about that. Do you think Houston, I mean, this is an obvious question, but it can be detailed as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as good as Boston's pitching lineup is, you know, it's kind of like what the Cubs did last year when we acquired Aroldis Chapman.
Okay.
And he closed for us and he did very well.
Yeah.
Astros did it the same way, but they picked up Verlander from Detroit. So that, do you think
clutch.
That, do you think that had a lot to do with it, or was it not substantial as people make it to seem?
I think it has a lot to do with it because you can rely on a guy who's had over 6, 7, 8 seasons of playoff experience mm-hmm. or 8 years of playoff experience. And so that is a big deal when it comes to these young guns that are on that Astros team that are mainly all young guns that are still wide-eyed spectacles in the league.
Right.
And have someone like Justin Verlander, a pitching god, come in there and not only be stable, but then too, to be able to rely on him for experience through those. I think that's one of the most underrated things, though, is on a team, how much they benefit from a veteran being able to explain to them what the playoffs are
right.
like, what to expect, how to calm those jitters down. And the Astros, you know, have had some early exits in the past couple of years.
Right.
And finally beat someone like Boston, who had Chris Sale, who had this lineup geared towards, you know, oh yeah, we're going to the ALCS. And then Houston was able to close it out 3-1 in the series numbers.
Yeah.
It was impressive.
What would have been interesting is seeing Boston and the Yankees. That would have been the game, dude.
That would have been fun.
Another interesting point.
Then I feel like Kyrie Irving would have seen how much of a sports town Boston
is. Going with the Knicks.
That's right.
Catch you guys on the flip side.
Ooh.
One interesting thing is, you know, he came from Detroit, and that was one of the worst teams in the league. I think it's the team.
For a while, yeah.
They finished with, I think, the worst record. Maybe not. I don't know. It's
yeah, good on Verlander for getting out of there.
Right. he made the smart choice, but, you know, it's interesting to me to see if you're doing that poorly that whole mm-hmm. season, and then you could just turn it on.
Yeah.
I mean,
you're inspired.
Maybe
your team has a winning record.
Motivation, incentive.
Oh yeah.
All right. I guess that makes sense.
I've got another chance to make it to the big game.
Right. I mean, sports and especially baseball can be a very mental based sport, and you know,
yeah.
it's just interesting that he can turn it on all at once, pitch so well, and lead his team that hasn't been to the AL, CS or ALDS since the Astros were in the NL. You know.
Yeah. That's true.
So, I mean, definitely something to be proud of.
Wow. That was a while ago.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. Roy Oswalt was their, like, Cy Young pitcher. They had Roger Clemens on the Astros for a while that year.
Right.
They, oh, man, that
and
team.
Fun fact,
that team's crazy.
I found out that the Astros are owned by Nolan Ryan's son.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Nice.
Yeah. All right, I guess we have to, I'll let you start it. Getting choked up.
What if I told you that on a rainy day, October 11th, 2017, the Cubs would choke game four. The weather was awful, and I feel bad for anybody who kind of had to sit through that, because that was not a fun game to watch. Cold rain.
A lot of people were still there.
Yeah, which was nice, because I can't imagine how much they paid for those tickets.
Right.
But it was 0-0 for a while. It went to, like, the seventh inning, and then...
Sixth or seventh, and then the Nationals hit a base... Or a line drive, base run,
mm-hmm.
right up towards Addison Russell. It bounces off his glove and rolls right up his arm, and he doesn't get a good grip on it.
Yeah.
So it was an error on his part, and we had they had Rendon on third. He comes in to score.
He's fast.
Yeah. And another thing is, like, if we have that game postponed or canceled moving on to the other day, I mean, mm-hmm. in your mindset, I'm ready to play now, and you have to, like, you know.
Yeah. Which I was surprised that they both kept their same – pitchers lined up for that game.
Right. But you know how it went, because Arrieta pitched. He's a big guy. He can pitch very well.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, he threw fastballs right down
location
the middle. Location is key for a pitcher.
Has not been his forte this season.
Yeah, so he had a hard time striking guys out, if any. Mm-hmm. And then Lester had to relieve him. And then after the
Which I was surprised they put in Lester.
Yeah, and then he actually threw out a guy to first. And if you know John Lester, he's known to not do very well.
Yeah.
especially in the World Series last year, man. Ooh, yeah, made me real nervous. But after the error occurred, I think it was bottom of the eighth, they hit a grand slam. They had guys full on base. And that happened more than once. And Arrieta, it was earlier in the game, and Arrieta was thankfully, able to pull that off. And then the grand slam kind of sealed in the win, so... I mean, that's why I love series.
Yep.
Game five,
It's tough.
Can't lie. So, yeah, tough loss, but we're playing in Nationals tonight at 8 or 9. I think it's 8 Eastern.
8 o'clock, yeah.
So 7 o'clock here.
Yeah.
So moving
on. Tough. It's tough, man. I was sitting down in my in my office, and all of a sudden, I heard a choice word shouted across the hall. And there's a student watching the game on his iPhone. And when the grand slam hit, I looked up the update. And I was like, okay. I probably would have said the same thing if I was a true Cubs fan.
Right.
But them's the breaks, kid. But thank goodness it's a series and not a final game.
Yeah, that's why I love series.
The series are good.
Love them.
So Cubs play tonight in Washington. Do you see the starters yet?
Yeah, it's going to be Hendricks and Gomez from the Nationals. Don't know a lot about him. It's not Strasburg and it's not Scherzer, so we're good. Hendricks pitched game one, and he pitched very well. So hopefully the professor can school some people tonight.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
Tune
in. Moving on to some not-so-breaking news, but it did happen today. Greg Holland declines his team option, $15 million, to not re-sign with the Rockies and becomes a UFA or unrestricted free agent. Brian, let's hear your take on that.
Gregory Holland.
Disappointed, obviously, but, I mean,
I shed a tear this morning when I saw that.
He does have the option to re-sign with your team.
He does have an option to re-sign. He's going to test out free agency.
Test the waters.
With all of the incentives and bonuses that he got from the Rockies last year, I'm pretty surprised that he's going to test the waters. Why would you want to mess up that mojo? Coming off of Tommy John surgery, you've got a team that loves you.
Yeah.
The team made the playoffs. The team has great chemistry. He was an all-star. All in, Coors Field. Coors. You can't do anything in Coors. Whatever. Greg Holland was outstanding along with the other rookie pitchers over there. And he really anchored down a bullpen that for at least the first half of the season, we weren't sure what we were going to get. And I was surprised that he chose to test the waters.
That was what was most interesting to me, because you're like, okay, we went on a leg to get you, and you're just going to leave.
The Rockies don't just shell out money for people, especially pitchers.
Yeah.
And obviously, that deal worked out for them, but I would have liked to see Greg choose that That $15 million team option is not a bad deal for him at all.
No, absolutely.
It's not. Relief pitchers for a one-year, even for a team option, it's not that high. And maybe it got to his head where I'm an all-star, maybe I can pitch somewhere better. Dude, he had a rough second half, and I don't know how many teams are going to take that into account. Hopefully I can sway them if anyone's listening saying that Greg Holland isn't good just so that we can keep him again.
Right.
He did have a rough second half, gave up more homers, didn't have as good of a location as he did the first half.
Yeah.
He got a little gassed, even leading up to the All-Star break where he blew a couple of games,
right,
a couple of save opportunities. So Greg Holland's not perfect, and I think teams need to see that and know that, and hopefully –
Fingers crossed he comes back to Coors, yeah. Alrighty. Moving on to the NBA preseason. New faces, same game. Yeah, we're kind of a Charles Barkley and Shaq kind of dynamic over here.
Shaq fans, yeah.
Yeah.
We're dynamic.
Shaqed and the Fool. I love that. I love that series.
Oh my gosh, with JaVale McGee.
JaVale McGee.
What was it? He's like, it was like 3 weeks in a row JaVale McGee was on it.
Yeah.
It's just so funny. JaVale, what are you thinking?
Come on, man. Alrighty. So a lot happened in the preseason. A lot of trades. I think the most ever or the most notable.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about four teams that had the most changes, starting off with the Thunder. The Thunder acquired two great all-stars to their lineup.
And a guy who wears a hoodie.
Yeah. Well, all right. Everyone's adopting Hoodie Mello now. I mean,
yeah.
If you want to be savage. So the Thunder acquired Carmelo Anthony, Hoodie mm-hmm. Mello, and Paul George. I think the biggest question for that team is who's going to get the ball the most?
Russell Westbrook. Yeah. This is his team.
Yeah.
After the way he shoved Nikola Jokic last night.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
That ticked me off.
There is no preseason for Russ.
No. And someone needs to bop Russ on the head if he wants to mess with my Nuggets again.
Right. Well, he's earning the most money ever, so.
Yeah.
Anyways,
this is Russ's team, and they're just in his world.
Right.
Paul George and Melo are just little pieces in Russ's world.
Gotcha.
After Durant left, I think.
Right.
Russell kind of. This is his team.
Yeah, I think.
They're going to be clutch players throughout the season. Don't get me wrong. Melo and George have a piece to play.
For the team overall, right, yeah.
But Russ is going to get the ball the most, and
he's going to come down the rebound. He's like, get out of my way.
Back off.
Definitely obvious. I mean, most notably, they're going to be a much more force to be reckoned with in the West.
Yeah.
We'll get
the problem was that I thought they were still a force to be reckoned with, and they didn't give enough credit to the depth of their lineup that Donovan set up for them, their coach.
Yeah, I mean, you got big man Steven Adams.
Yeah, and Cantor, I just felt a lot of people, after Kevin Durant left, oh, this Nuggets team's not going to be able to do anything. And I thought, did you even watch any of these games? Again, Kevin Durant played a piece in being the jump shot that he's got is mm-hmm. great, but the heart and soul of that team is Russell Westbrook.
Right.
So even this past season, I thought, this is his team. He's still going to ride or die and led him to the playoffs and did well for as much as they could have.
Same with James Harden. I know everyone identifies him with the Rockets, but he was the big three back then.
Yeah.
You know?
And so I just think these additions to Russ's world
right.
is going to help out a lot. Making a deeper run, but just as deadly.
I think he does get a lot of special treatment just because of the MVP status. But
mm-hmm. so. Or just that he stayed in a team, stayed in a town.
Loyalty.
I've never seen so much love get sent towards an NBA player in general that chose to stay
right.
with the team.
You can't put a price on loyalty, man.
Because you got like MJ, you've got people coming out. Dude, this guy's legit because he stayed in a town, which I think is a little unfair, but good on him. He mm-hmm. deserves it.
Right.
He's good.
Right.
And I think that's where some of it comes from, is that he just stayed in a town.
Speaking of the MVP race, moving on to the Rockets, who acquired CP3, Chris Paul, from the LA Clippers.
Yep.
I mean, same with the Thunder. They're going to be another force to be reckoned with in the West.
Yeah.
May not be as strong as the Thunder, but
right.
It's going to be fun to see that dynamic duo, mm-hmm. you know, passing the ball around. I mean, Chris Paul is more one to play in the paint, and James can be one that's, you know, going for the 3-point shots. Yeah. And I mean, like you said, Thunder is to Westbrook, is the Rockets to James Harden. I mean, he's really the heart of the team.
Yeah.
You know,
I wonder what Yao Ming is thinking right now.
Yeah.
Why did they guys put these guys together when I was there?
Right.
I'm sure he doesn't talk like that. No. That's my impersonating voice.
But yeah, moving on to the Celtics. I think Cavs-Celtics trade was by far the biggest one. Celtics releasing Isaiah Thomas in acquisition for Kyrie Irving.
Yep.
And then the Cavs earning Isaiah Thomas, Derrick Rose. I mean, I can't name them all. They got so many. But Celtics acquiring Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward, mm-hmm. And Al Horford.
Al Horford, I think, is going to be like the low-key big asset this year.
Dark horse, yeah.
The dark horse asset.
Gotcha.
For the team. No one's really talked about it that much. Al Horford can be a game changer.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
big three in Boston?
You heard it here first.
Yeah, no denying it. All right. Moving on to the Cavs, who, like I said, acquired Isaiah Thomas, Derrick Rose, and recently Dwayne Wade reuniting in Cleveland for a one-year deal. I'm not sure how much. It wasn't much. He's given up a lot of money.
Yeah. That Chicago just willingly shells out to people.
Yeah.
Goodness.
He's like, coming back to my hometown, did awful, I'm out of here. You know?
All that feel-good story, don't listen to that. That's
right,
not true.
Right.
I'm out of here.
Watching
them play in that preseason game, though, was cracking me up. Because they're trying to recreate what they had in Miami. So
yeah.
Dwayne Wade, like, threw it off the backboard, and LeBron James just totally missed the dunk.
Yeah.
Went through his hands and just kind of shrugged it off. I'm curious to see how they'll do.
Not as quiet as young as they were, but...
Not as quiet.
Yeah. So, out of these four, who do you think got the best? Cavs, Celtics, Rockets, Thunder.
Man. Not the Cavs.
Really?
I don't think so.
Wow.
Because it's too risky. Either everything they got over the offseason's going to blow up in their face, and then you're going to see one of the greatest meltdowns in team history, sports history, occur with the Cleveland Cavs.
Yeah.
Because what, LeBron James on his final year?
Yeah, that could definitely happen.
If this does not work for Cleveland, it's going to be...
They're
going to
rue the day that they made that trade.
Amazing for someone who doesn't care about the Cavs to watch, and completely devastating for someone who does care about the Cavs to watch.
Right. This whole season is going to be an experiment, because they don't know how good they had it with Kyrie, one of the best point guards in the league.
No,
you know,
and
he has the handles, he has mm-hmm. the three pointers, he has the clutch shots. You know,
here's my ranking. Okay, Celtics 1.
Okay,
Rockets 2.
Ooh,
Thunder 3, because the pieces were already there; they just look different now.
Okay,
Cavs 4.
All right, I can agree with that.
Okay,
yeah.
I did something right. Yay.
That makes sense to me. I mean, most people are going to say Cavs because, oh, they got the most people. You know, that doesn't count, you know.
It doesn't matter. If Derrick Rose can do what he did, like he did in that preseason game where he did his famous, like, one step fake the other way, roll over the ball.
Change the hands in midair, you know.
If he can do that without tearing his ACL,
if he,
hey, they have a team.
They're it's like opening night. He's going to come off the bench. Oh, just tears his ACL.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to think about that, but I think I'm going to agree with you. I think Celtics and Thunder got the best out of all that. Rockets just isn't substantial enough.
Okay.
Cavs, like I said, like you said, I agree with that. I mean, it makes sense to me. So.
Sure.
So just recently, the GM picks for 2017 came out, and we're going to get our thoughts on the biggest categories. We're not going to go too in-depth just for the sake of time.
Okay.
But predictions, which team will win the 2018 NBA Finals? Number one, Golden State, 93%.
Wow.
Cleveland, 7%.
Seriously?
Last year, Golden State was 69.
No, I don't buy that at all.
That's more than three-fourths.
No, 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 no. No. How many times can he keep saying no? No. There's been a lot of, even with these, we just talked about the trades. There's not a team that stockpiled up anymore, per se. We now have, instead of it just being Cavs and Warriors, we have teams that all could make a run more than years past. You know, I think that's wrong. Because I think very easily in the West, it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
Well, more in the East, I know it's going to be Cavs, Celtics. But in the West, I don't think it's going to be the Warriors' chance this
year. To make the finals?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, obviously, playoff contenders.
Yes, of course.
What about Western Conference?
What do I think?
Yeah.
You just have... Here's what I think. There are too many teams in the Western Conference that have above-average teams.
Oh, absolutely.
To just flippantly give it away to the Warriors.
No.
And I'm not saying this because I'm a Nuggets fan. The Nuggets have a good-looking team. The Trailblazers have a good-looking team. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, where this year looks different. OKC could very easily not walk right in, but fight to the finals. This is not the Warriors' year anymore.
Right, and last year, in order, it was Golden State, or these were the teams that were picked to win.
Yeah.
97%. It was higher last year, just because, you know, their lineup was insane after the Kevin Durant move.
Right.
It was Golden State, San Antonio, Clippers, Oklahoma, Portland, Utah, Memphis, Houston, Dallas. So, I mean, Oklahoma City's obviously going to pass the Clippers, no doubt. I mean, San Antonio's going to keep their hot streak of making the playoffs since 2001 or some crazy number like that.
Why not?
Right. And then in the East, it was the same percent for Cleveland. And then after that was Toronto, Boston, Indiana, Detroit, Atlanta, Charlotte, Washington, and Chicago. So, I mean, I can't argue with the lineup they have. I mean, Draymond Green was quoted today with, you know, just how laughable the thought of anyone challenging them in the finals was.
He's got a big mouth.
He is very
cocky. He's got a big mouth.
He's very cocky. I mean,
he might as well just go say, did that get hacked? Because I don't even know.
Right. On one hand, he has the backup to call it because he's a two-time NBA champion. He's on a stacked team. But yeah. On the other hand, I mean, anything could happen, you know. And just to say those kind of things and then have it thrown back in your face is just almost as bad.
Golden State, the Clippers, the Rockets, the Mavericks, the Spurs, Memphis and New Orleans could somehow click it and be good this year.
Right.
Utah, Portland, OKC, Denver, Minnesota.
It's too stacked.
Those teams all have really good people on there.
If they don't have one superstar, there's at least a big three or you know some sort of
it just this year factor. This year looks different finally, and I'm excited about it. And even in the East, you know Boston, Toronto, the 76ers, maybe
trust the process,
could flip it around this year.
Joel Embiid had a great preseason game yesterday.
Right. The Cavs, the Pacers, Milwaukee, if Giannis Antetokounmpo really comes into his own as a superstar.
Right.
Then you've got the Wizards. Charlotte, maybe. I think they could do it
this year.
You got
Clear Monk, Kemba Walker, Dwight Howard.
I think they could. And then not as many people in the East, but still enough to tip the balance.
Right.
It's just not
you
the
don't,
Cavs
you don't
and
agree with
anymore.
The percentage, I'm guessing.
No. No.
The staggering confidence that is there.
Yeah. I think those GMs have been using whatever was found in that mine.
Right. I'm sure they're using statistics and numbers to back that up, but, like, you know, 93%.
Yeah, but these statistics and numbers are based off the past decade. Well, not decade.
Past seasons. Yeah.
Past seasons that have been completely stacked the wrong way.
That almost all in the West, you know?
Yeah, all in the West, all towards the Warriors or all towards the Cavs. Right. I don't see it. I'm not buying it.
That makes sense. 93% with all the trades that's been going on.
I'm not picking up what they're putting down.
Doesn't seem as likely.
Mm-mm. Mama didn't raise no fool.
Right, right. Moving on. MVP race.
Okay.
So, LeBron James, Cleveland, 50%.
LeBron James.
So he's got 0.5%. Okay. KD, 29%. Kawhi Leonard, 11%. James Harden, 7%. And Steph Curry, 4%. Last year, it was LeBron James, 47%.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you got? And they didn't even mention two of the upcoming ones, Karl-Anthony Towns and Giannis Antetokounmpo.
I think in the past couple years, it's been more of a popularity contest than it has been literally
talent-wise.
The most valuable player that can be added to a team.
Which was Russell, obviously.
Yeah. And I just think this year, Kawhi Leonard. If it's going to be based off a popularity contest, it's going to be between Kawhi and James Harden.
Okay.
I think last year, James Harden didn't deserve it because he gave up too much. I think this year he's going to...
He didn't play defense.
No.
No.
And then that team was balanced, so it wasn't really more on Kawhi. I think this year, if it's a popularity contest, it's going to be Kawhi and Harden. Everyone's going to get over the LeBron James thing. Russell Westbrook,
if he's not in the running, you know,
the team, that dynamic's going to look different. But if it's going to be by MVP, most valuable player, hear me out here, Giannis Antetokounmpo,
right?
Or
I'm with you there.
Or the Brow.
Okay, I got you.
The Brow and Nolans.
All right.
But here's the sad thing is that they acquired. Who did the Pelicans acquire from?
DeMarcus Cousins.
DeMarcus Cousins. That was supposed to change the face of their team.
And Rajon Rondo.
It didn't change.
No.
Last year. So I'm hoping, because I'm a fan of the Brow. I wish I had a unibrow to be a part of it.
Did both of those guys go to Kentucky?
The Brow crew? I'm not sure.
I know Davis did. I agree with you. I don't think James is going to get. I'm not riding that train.
Now that Chris Paul is in the picture.
Right. I'm not buying James Harden. Steph Curry is an amazing shooter. Don't get me wrong. One of the best we've ever seen. I liken it to, you know, because you have offense players and you have defense players, and you want a guy that can work both ends of the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Kawhi Leonard is that guy. He can play defense. He can play offense. He sprints to the other end of that just to block you off the glass. You know, he shows no emotion. He's like, he'll drain the game-winning three, and people are like, cool, let's go home. He's Greg Popovich on the floor, pretty much. So, I mean, I do like Giannis and Karl-Anthony Towns. I mean, I think Giannis has more of that range, and I feel like you have to be on the MVP to, like, really be on a worser team or a team isn't as good, because if you're LeBron James or Steph or Kevin Durant that's on a superstar team, your whole team is an MVP team. You have to kind of really stand out among other players, and that's why Russell got it, I think.
Yeah.
I think so. I'm going...
You're right on that.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going... If I have to go by the list, I'm going Kawhi.
Okay.
But I'd like to see Giannis get it too, so...
I'm just a big fan of the Greek Freak.
All right.
We should go to a Bucks game this year.
Yeah.
Just go to witness ourselves.
Witness
the Greek Freak.
Witness greatness, yeah. So we could go in who's the best point guard, shooting guard, small forward, best center. Those all take a while to do. So we're going to end on, this is a kind of a lengthy question, but it's a good question.
Okay.
If you were to start a franchise today and you could sign any player,
ooh,
who would it be?
Oh. Wow.
Karl Anthony Towns at 29%, Giannis at 21%, James at 18%, Leonard at 14%, Durant at 11%. Last year it was it was Towns at 48%. So
if I could start an NBA team, the first person I would sign is LaVar Ball.
LaVar Ball. I was gonna say Brian Scalabrine, but
Scalabrine. Oh man, what a guy.
What are your qualifications? Does he have to be young? Does he have to be a veteran? I mean, he could be Vince Carter.
To sign?
He could be Vince Carter in Sacramento.
Okay,
you know?
Here we go.
Leading.
Realistic hypotheticals. The T-Mobile Arena, the T-Mobile Center in Las Vegas could easily hybrid between hockey and NBA.
Okay.
That arena's specifically set up for a hockey franchise, but it's not that hard
and obviously
to
they got
switch
one.
It up.
Yeah.
So let's say we're the GMs of the Vegas Desert Eagles, okay? Here we go.
That actually sounds cool.
The Desert Eagles. I would sign either Nikola Jokic or Giannis Antetokounmpo. Because, one, I think they do need to be a little bit on the younger side. I don't think you want to sign a full-fledged veteran because you want their experiences to grow with the team,
okay,
with themselves.
Okay.
So that there's a kind of a sense of
belonging,
commitment,
right,
attachment to the franchise, because that's your goal. That's your hopes of any GM is that,
right,
if you bring in a big-name player, they're going to fall in love with the city, the franchise, everything.
I do have one counter to that.
Okay.
And that's, I mean, the thing with growing up with each other and growing better as players, that totally makes sense, and I agree with that.
Yeah.
But if you start a franchise and it doesn't start well,
mm-hmm,
you're going to be more likely to leave. Like, okay, things aren't working out here. This isn't the team. Yeah. So, I mean,
no, I understand.
That's the only thing to consider.
But that's the hope.
Yeah. That's
the hope.
Right, right.
Having someone on the younger side, so like Giannis or Nikola, and I just think those two specifically, and you know, you could easily throw in Karl Anthony Towns or
Anthony Davis.
You could easily put them in there, but I think those two, especially to what they bring to a team. I watched the Nuggets a lot. It's no surprise, but the Nuggets were not good last year until Jokic got on the floor, played more minutes, and started.
Yeah.
That team's record flipped around because Michael Malone wasn't looking pretty good,
mm-hmm,
until they discovered, oh, Jusuf Nurkić isn't the playmaker we thought. Emmanuel Mudiay isn't the person we thought. And this guy that we almost let go to send to play in the European Basketball League, Nikola Jokic came up, the magic man out of nowhere, started running the team, making his teammates better. That's exactly what Giannis does and what he's going to do this year.
Yeah.
You want those guys, in all respect, I don't want the superstar because that's easy jersey sells, but
right,
not team wins per se.
Gotcha.
Those two. What about you? What do you think?
And you have some newfound leadership in Paul Millsap as well. So.
Yeah.
So.
Which definitely helps tear that over to the negative attitudes that Kenneth Faried's been,
yeah,
spouting, but that's here nor there.
If I had to start one, and I feel like if I went the opposite route as you did and I started with a veteran,
mm-hmm,
and they have, like, for the sake of argument, 5 years left within them,
okay,
before there's a season-ending injury or they just want to retire.
Sure.
And you have that younger group of players and they kind of, like, influence them. It could really still go either way. Like, okay, this guy's method isn't working.
Sure.
I still want to leave. So I'm going to go with Carl. I'm going to go with the cat, Karl Anthony Towns.
Oh, nice. Okay.
I mean, he's a young guy. He's got that attitude and he's got that,
sure,
motivation to play, and he wants to make a
heck
team.
Yeah.
A team with, fun fact, Minnesota having the worst win-loss percentage record of all time. Even when Kevin Garnett was there. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I
did not know that.
I was researching that. So, you know, it kind of gives you that incentive
mm-hmm,
to do better, but it's also a double-edged sword because, like, wow, I don't want to be a part of this franchise. So, yeah.
Dude, Minnesota's going to be so good this year.
Right.
They're going to be so good.
Jimmy G, Carl. I mean,
Jimmy Buckets, Carl Anthony Towns. You got Tom Thibodeau and his stellar defensive.
Right.
Oh, man. It's going to be a good year.
In comparison to Jimmy G, I mean, he's pretty much a veteran to Carl Anthony. I mean, if you think about it. But, yeah. All right. Very interesting.
Sweet.
Moving on to the NHL regular season, the Chicago Blackhawks are 3-0, or 4-0, I think, today. I mean, this was a while ago.
Let me look. I've got all my stats in front of me here.
And the Colorado Avalanche went 3-1 today, respectively. I think the Hawks won yesterday.
Yeah, they're 3-0-1. They had an overtime loss.
Okay.
But still points.
Still
points on the board. Yeah, the Avalanche have only lost one game. They're 3-1. We walloped the Bruins yesterday, which now everyone's starting to see that the Bruins aren't as good as they were last year.
All right.
Tuukka Rask, his save percentage is not friendly. It's under, yikes, under 850.
Yikes.
Which is below average and below. And Tuukka Rask has not been holding that down stellar. He got, not kicked out of the game, but he got pulled from the game last night against the Avalanche.
Well.
Dude, this season's been fun. Let's hit off on a couple of things here. I laughed in the face of multiple people that said, oh, man, because I was going to ask him who they're going to watch this season. I was like, you're going to watch the Bulls or the Blackhawks or the Cubs are going to stay in for a while. And they're like, not the Blackhawks. And I was like, why? And they're like, they're not going to be good this year. I was like, stupid. You're an idiot.
I respect your opinion, but it's wrong.
Yes, Panarin was a great asset to Kane. Brandon Saad has 5 goals and is leading. The only person who's got more goals than Brandon Saad is the king himself, Alex Ovechkin.
Right.
He's not the king, but you get the point. He's got 8 goals. Brandon Saad's got 5. 5 goals, 7 points. He's on fire. And I don't think people took into account or even forgot how good Toews was with Brandon Saad.
Oh, my goodness.
Because it took Toews all the way to November 10th to score 2 goals.
Right.
2 goals, and that's the captain himself.
Yeah.
He's already got 2 goals in the first 4 games.
Yeah.
Brandon Saad's got 5. Kane has found another guy in Alex DeBrincat who's really coming into his own. He took a heck of a hit the other game. Who are they? He took a hit, got back up, shook it off, and then he scored a goal in that game.
Yeah.
He is good. Kane is in the top 25. He hasn't lost his edge either. The Blackhawks are where they should be and in the top tier, and they're going to be good this season. And alrighty. I just want to laugh in everybody's face.
Speaking of getting hot, I want to just ask you, in the first couple weeks,
okay,
who are some of the standout players that have really jumped out at you aside from Sidney Crosby in these first couple weeks?
Sidney Crosby hasn't really stood out too much either. It looks like the Penguins have a little bit of a Stanley Cup hangover.
Uh-oh.
So Sidney Crosby, he'll always be in the...
Drinking too many Coors.
Well, what do they drink in Pittsburgh? Just... Steel?
Lager? I don't know.
Steel? Yeah. Let's see here. Sidney Crosby's got 1 goal, 6 assists. But his plus minus is negative 3.
Ooh.
So he's not...
so hot.
It's a little bit of a hangover, but that happens. But let's talk about...
You got to bust the rust, you know?
Okay, I know. I talked about Brandon Saad. No one saw this coming. And people knew that he was going to be good, but not to the hot start that he's had this season. How can we not talk about James Neal with the Vegas Golden Knights?
Right.
In each game, he scored a goal. James Neal, let's see his stats here. James Neal's definitely hot. 5 goals, 5 points. He's tied with Brandon Saad, and his plus minus is 3. His plus minus is plus 3. So not only does he add an asset to the team, but he makes sure that when he's on ice, that stat usually helps refer people to see
right.
how much the team does when he's on the ice as well.
Do you think Neal and Saad can catch Ovechkin, though? Or is he just going to sail off in his own kind of realm and lead the lead in goals?
Yep.
Yeah?
They're not going to be able to catch him.
Okay.
It's been like this every year. The Rocket Richard.
Typical.
Until Patrick Kane came along
when
the bread man was feeding him
the
passes. Alex Ovechkin's going to win it again this year. But the from 2 to 10 is going to look way different because Neil Yakupov, the free agent pickup for the Avalanche.
Gotcha.
Number one pick back in 2011, 2012 for the Oilers. Failed miserably there because that team had a changeover once a year of coaches and players, and it was bad.
Yeah.
Then he went to the Blues, which he did okay with, but not great. And their coach, he cracks me up because he's in Dallas now. Hitchcock really liked Yakupov, but when they got the old Minnesota coach, Mike Yao, in there, he didn't like him, didn't give him much expectations, and he just kind of sailed under the radar, free agency. Avalanche pick him up, and now you'll...
With open arms.
Yeah.
Come on home.
We need more forwards, buddy.
Right.
And Neil Yakupov has 3 goals, 5 points, so two assists to add to that. And his plus minus is 6.
Wow.
He's got a plus 6 on the season.
That's crazy.
That also goes hand in hand with the Avalanche having a hot start, too, going 3-1. But Neil Yakupov, no one was going to see Neil Yakupov do as good as he is right now.
Right.
He's definitely the standout. Let's see here. Bobrovsky has an insane save percentage going on right now for Columbus. He's got a .985 percentage. League average is around .850, and he's almost perfect.
Almost perfect, yeah.
Almost perfect, which he's looking like he's returning back to his 2013-2014 form when he won the...
Former glory.
The Vezina Cup, or the Vezina Award for best goalie of the year. Bobrovsky looks good. And let's see here if we're going to go into goalie stats here. he's doing the best out of anybody in save percentage. You can't knock on what Varlamov, Marc-Andre Fleury for the Vegas Knights.
Yeah.
The Golden Knights. They're 3-0. They're perfect with him under there. Corey Crawford's been pretty good for the Blackhawks. Hasn't missed a beat.
Right.
And here's one that really surprised me here that I didn't feel like a lot of people were going to give Mike Smith credit because, I mean, he played for the Arizona Coyotes for forever. But Calgary's looking really good this year. And they have the ageless wonder... Jaromir Jagr playing for them now. But Mike Smith has 3 wins, and his save percentage is .950, which is elite. He's doing really good. And maybe he'll come back down to earth and just be back to his normal self. But having a fresh start like Neil Yakupov had with the Avalanche, Mike Smith is flourishing in Calgary right now.
Right.
And just kind of want to note on some goaltenders that haven't been performing up to standard. Pittsburgh, with their hangover, Matt Murray has not looked good at all. Ben Bishop with Dallas has 1 win, although he's got a .955 save percentage, which is good, but his team isn't helping carry that. Craig Anderson with Ottawa has just had an okay start. Cam Talbot with Edmonton, they started off that game with a 3-0 shutout win with Connor McDavid scoring the hat trick
then
hasn't really done much since, and Kim Talbot's not looked good. As well as Pekka Rinne, Nashville. not looking so hot either. 869 average, which I've said before and I've said all along, he's a regular average goalie in the regular season. And the only reason why Nashville did so good is because he got hot in the playoffs. So
gotcha.
Just wanted to kind of give you some updates on that. The Vegas Golden Knights.
Right.
They are the Cinderella story for the NHL.
Right. A couple nights ago, defenseman Derek Engelin had some touching words. He gave the speech before the game, obviously in response to the mass shooting that occurred in Vegas.
Yeah.
One or two weeks ago.
One week ago.
Yeah. Had some...
just awful.
Yeah, it was a great display of compassion and emotion for his hometown team.
Oh yeah, and on the ice too, that was so cool. They brought out as many as first responders as they could,
and he's like
survivors of that.
That was very cool.
And just to have them on the ice, he gives that speech. They play the national anthem, and just I watched that game, and that crowd was electric. No wonder. I love Antti Raanta when he was an Ice Hog and when he was a backup with the Rangers, but I don't think any goalie was going to be able to do as well as anybody could have in that situation,
right?
Because they were hyped.
Mm-hmm.
That was emotional. That was touching.
Anyone would be.
That was the best. Sorry, in all respect with what happened, to take what happened in Vegas and turn something good out of it.
Yeah.
That organization, the Golden Knights, tapped into something special there because they scored 3 goals in the first 7 minutes and rushed out Raanta to have the backup come in, which held the game down a little bit. They ended up winning 5-1. But, man.
Their first franchise or expansion franchise to go 3-0, to go perfect. So, and hopefully they can continue that streak.
Yeah, you just... there was a lot of good things going down there with James Neal.
Yeah.
He wasn't given the respect that he was due with Nashville and just wasn't utilized to his potential.
Yeah. Made a great transition, though.
Vegas has hopped right on that, man. And let me say this, though. When they ended the game, when they win, they ended out the game with Elvis Presley singing Viva La Vegas.
Oh, that's cool.
On the, you could hear it through the TV. And I just never occurred to me that any franchise in Vegas has a plethora of songs and just culture icons that they can use to promote their team.
Right.
And what was it? Their goal scoring song was a, oh my gosh, I'm going to kick myself in the butt later. It was an Arcade Fire Vegas song.
Oh, really?
And, I listened. I hadn't heard it. I was familiar, but I couldn't remember, and I listened to it, and I was like, okay.
Yeah.
This is cool. Gotcha. This is cool, man. And this is what sports is all about, too, if we can camp on this for a second. It's for Vegas that has never had a major franchise before. This is almost what sports is made for. It's to help carry a city through thick and thin. And the Golden Knights have already tested their true grit and their mettle with this city by just how the players have supported them, how the franchise has supported Vegas.
Right.
And has really taken something that takes the economic, emotional, physical toll out of a city and sucks of its energy.
Right.
Because that was just awful. And no one, no city, no person, no one should have to go through that in this. There's just some stupid people in this world. But just like when the Saints carried New Orleans through Hurricane Katrina.
Right.
The Vegas Golden Knights are carrying Las Vegas through this awful season.
It gives everyone on the team and everyone in that city like one solid single platform for everyone to like just jump on, and we're like, okay, we're all a part of this.
We're all Vegas strong.
We're all united because of this tragic incident. And
just like, it reminds me with the Boston Marathon bombing.
Yeah.
I remember seeing in the Chicago Tribune the next day, you know, we are the Boston Bulls. We are the Boston Bears. We are right. the Boston,
it's more
Boston
than the, more than
Black
a game.
Hawks.
Yeah.
It is more than a game, and it's not just practice. It's more than a game.
Yeah.
And it's just so cool. It's just so cool to see that. So props on Vegas. They're awesome.
All righty. Moving on to our neck of the woods. The Ice Hogs are 1-0 with a win over the Monsters. 4-0 shutout by Berube.
The Ice Hogs, props to the Blackhawks organization, top down, left, right. I was talking to my friend Mike Lehman, who works down here in the MassCom area, that the Blackhawks have just had an impeccable touch to find good goalies, good backup goalies in any just in any division. Right. Especially with the Blackhawks and Ice Hogs. You know, we had Corey Crawford come through here,
mm-hmm.
then we had Scott Darling come through here. But then before Darling, it was Antti Raanta. Raanta was solid. Like, I remember standing at the BMO Harris Bank Center cheering on Crawford, Raanta, Darling. Everyone would laugh at me because I'd be like, that's my Darling! That's my Darling! And then you've got, after Darling, it was, oh my goodness, I'm going to kick myself. Jason LaBarbera, who was a standout for the Arizona Coyotes as their main backup goalie. He came to start for the Ice Hawks for a while. Then we had the AHL shutout king play for us. It's just so cool. Mm-hmm. So cool. And so Berube shuts out the Lake Erie Monsters. And it just, compared to last year, the Ice Hawks had Hildebrand and Glass, which they're both good. They held their own. We had talked about this before in our old podcast, that the problem that the Ice Hawks were facing was that the Blackhawks were changing out so many people and trading different people that they couldn't set down in stone a team. But we've got a new coach, new goalies, it's pretty much just a very different team than when I went and saw for the first game last year. And it's something to be excited about. And I don't know if I wrote it down. I don't think I did. JF Berube was the highlight of that game. But then you had a couple. There was a guy that we called up from our ECHL team from the Indy Fury, who also scored a goal in that opening game for his first AHL goal ever. So that was cool.
Yeah.
Ice Hogs have got some good momentum going their way. It's about time because I want another Calder Cup.
I saw their new look on the ice. That's really sharp.
They
got the R.
The R is sick.
Yeah.
They use that as their...
got the Blackhawk feathers as their affiliate, you know?
I have it on a puck that I bought last year because I saw it. And I actually have it as a zip-up sweater, too. I saw that R logo, not just because my name starts with an R, but that's mainly it, too.
Yeah.
It just looks cool. And I thought to myself, why don't they put that in an alternate jersey, which they did a couple times last season. But then,
cool.
You know, to have a... our hometown, our ice, our hometown.
Yeah.
Or our team, our hometown.
Right.
Oh, man. And that R on that ice, it just
seals the deal.
Just looks good.
Yeah.
Let's go Hogs.
Looking good, playing good. Alrighty. Moving on to the NFL. We're starting a new little segment here.
Okay.
Going through the weeks. It's going to be a quick run through the rankings, but it's kind of going who's hot and who's not. Kind of like comparing rankings, not Chris Sims.
Cold take.
But just kind of seeing where each team is at in the respective divisions and the respective conferences. And we're also going to go through what each team is playing next week and their current record. So,
okay.
Starting off, actually tonight, is it the 12th? Really? Wow, okay.
Yeah, time flies.
Eagles playing the Panthers, both 4-1.
Let's say this. Thursday Night Football actually has a game that we should watch.
Wow.
Holy
actually
crap.
Actually notable.
That's not the season opener.
Right. You got the rookie quarterback Wentz from the Eagles. Wentzwagon. #Wentzwagon. And the Dab King himself, Cam Newton, on the Panthers.
It's the Panthers are finally good again after the Broncos broke them
right.
in Super Bowl 50.
What happened? Hashtag what happened?
Literally broke him.
Right.
Then they started this 2016 season against the Panthers.
Yeah.
Which, sorry, that was supposed to be a whiplash. Sorry. They whooped him. Broke Cam Newton. So as long as Cam Newton doesn't play the Broncos, I guess they're going to be good. Look at that.
As long as he doesn't break, yeah. So, who do you got in this game?
Ooh.
This is a tough one. Eagles are far up in the rankings, one of the best teams in the NFC right now. Is it all because of the quarterback?
I believe Riverboat Ron.
Yeah.
Riverboat Ron Rivera.
He's got those
Panthers
shades.
Win.
Okay. I'm going shades of Donovan McNabb. He's kind of like tapping into that right now.
Okay.
I'm hopping on the Wentz wagon.
As you should. Because he's good. Their new coaching staff there is good. This team looks awesome. Or fairly new. Their coaching staff is there last year. But
right.
Cam Newton's got that swagger back. And I think he learned a lesson after making that sexist comment against the reporter.
Yeah.
I think he's going to.
Regrettable.
Do some routes this game.
Right. Moving on, we have the Ravens, which are 3-2, and the Bears, 1-4. I think this is an easy call.
Bears,
yeah.
Wait. Wait a second.
Mitch Trubisky?
Listen, you got to give that kid some credit.
He had a nice trick
against
play.
That Minnesota defense, that game turned out way different than what I thought it was going to.
Well, of course it's going to do. They're not starting Mike Glennon. Are you kidding me?
And they don't fumble the ball nine times.
This guy can actually snap the ball right. So,
hear me out here. They've had some time to practice together. Bears beat the Ravens. I know I started it jokingly. I think the Bears beat the Ravens.
You know what? I think they deserve a win. I think Mitch Trubisky is coming into his own.
I don't think they deserve a win, but they're getting their team together that should have been placed together
right.
last year.
Right. I'm going Bears too.
Bear down, Chicago Bears.
All right, another easy pick. Houston. Just seeing their score. Houston, Cleveland. Cleveland 0-5.
Cleveland's going 0-6 on to the next loss.
Yeah.
Texans easy. What? Actually, I want to know what you think that score of the game's going to be.
let me.
So 7 times 8 is 56 plus 3, 56, 57, 58, 59-3 on a fluke field goal.
Field goal. I'm not going to go that high just to be nice to Cleveland. But,
to be nice. Whatever.
Let's go 49 just for fun. 49-0. They're not.
You're shutting them out.
They're not scoring, yeah.
Okay, and it's at. Well, it. Wow. How was I ever going to factor a home or away for the Browns? Right. They're going to lose either way. It doesn't matter.
As if that matters, yeah. Packers, Vikings, it's a battle in the NFC North. Who do you got?
Packers. The way they beat the Dallas Cowboys.
I hate them, but, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is clutch. Like, if you look up clutch in the dictionary, you're going to see a picture of Aaron Rodgers, you know.
And if you look up relax in the dictionary,
right.
You got a picture of Aaron Rodgers saying, yeah. Relax.
Gotcha. But yeah, that's an easy pick for me as well. Moving on, we have the Saints and Lions. 2-2 for the Saints, 3-2 for the Lions.
I got the Lions.
Yeah.
But that's because they've been holding their own this year.
Yeah.
The Saints finally got rid of AP. And that could do wonders for a team.
Right.
Not having such a bad
pretty much
vibe in
two
there.
Or three reasons why the Saints are going to lose. They only have Brandon Ingram there.
Yes.
Drew Brees, I think, has kind of plateaued since 2009. Hot take, if you want to call it that. I mean, he is a veteran quarterback. He's led the league in rush or passing yards.
Yeah.
He's way up there, but I mean, that doesn't win games. It's making the right plays. Really just, you know, scoring touchdowns. And,
yeah.
I mean, Matthew Stafford and the Lions are just too hot. They have a great offense. I'm picking the Lions as well.
Nice. Can't disagree with you there. The Dolphins versus the Falcons. 2-2 Dolphins, 3-1 Falcons at the sexy Mercedes-Benz Dome.
Oh, yeah.
That place looks hot.
You know, Jay Cutler's my man. Cuddy does it in Dolphin territory, but didn't have such a great game last time.
Oh my God.
You're going against the kings of the NFC North, or the NFC.
The only way the Dolphins win this game is if that offensive coordinator shares what he was snorting.
Right. Oh, you know what?
That just cracked me up.
It's comedy hour here on the Sports 360 podcast. I mean, a quick PSA to anyone that's if they're feeling down, and if you find out an outrageous story on SportsCenter.
Well, one, don't snort coke. But
right.
Then two.
If you ever come across an outrageous story or one that just, you know, will create a lot of controversy on, mm-hmm. like, Bleacher Report and or ESPN, mm-hmm. SportsCenter, just click on the comments and you will find the hottest takes, just the funniest stuff ever in your life. So I'm scrolling through Twitter and I find the offensive line coordinator of the Dolphins snorting a quote-unquote white substance.
Which I went ahead and took the liberty of assuming that it was cocaine.
I think that's a fair assumption, yeah.
And not acetaminophen, but
yeah.
Whatever they do down in Florida is none of my business.
So one person goes, I think this joke is flying under people's noses.
Oh, okay.
These cocaine jokes in the comments are really blowing up.
Oh.
It took line coach to a whole different level.
Oh, jeez.
And then this one Jags fan goes, haven't played the Jags yet. And then last one, I think, which is the funniest. I would snort coke too if I had to find a way to protect Jay Cutler.
Oh my goodness. That is good.
Just to lighten the mood there, you know.
Yeah. Oh man, my cheeks actually hurt. Right. That's funny.
Ow. All right. Final score. I mean, there's a shakeup in your offensive line, staffing.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Cutler didn't have a good week last week. I think the Falcons are going to take this one easy.
Okay.
Moving on to...
This is actually going to be an interesting game.
Right, yeah. Jets-Patriots.
They're both, surprisingly, 3-2.
Which is just astounding.
Legitimately, for both sides, it's surprising. The Patriots should be 5-0. The Jets should be 1-4.
Right.
3-2, both sides. I don't know if you can give a take here because you're a little biased towards the Patriots, your boy TB12 over there.
I'm just a fan because he's amazing. I mean, that's kind of indisputable.
That's actually, you may bring up a good point. Who do you think's going to win that game?
Patriots. But here is one factor to consider, and this is fair.
Okay.
Tom Brady has been suffering some AC shoulder problems and is not his Ooh. Throwing shoulder, his left shoulder.
Okay.
But he said he's fine. He's taking a lot of hits. No thanks to his offensive line.
Seriously.
So I mean I think he's a strong guy. He's 40 years old, veteran quarterback. I think they're gonna come out with this with the win. Easy Patriots over the Jets. Moving on, Redskins or 49ers at Redskins. 49ers at Redskins. Kirk Cousins may be traded in the near future to a various number of teams.
Mm-hmm.
That's another story to get into, but
they're 2-2. They're steady.
Steady. Not.
Kirk Cousins is getting paid a lot by Washington, so I'm surprised that they would try to dump him somewhere else.
Right. What do you think, Brian Hoyer? He's been hot lately with the 49ers.
What do you define as hot?
In the context, in the context of San Francisco, yeah.
You know, listeners, you guys heard me rave about 49ers with Mike Shanahan's son there and
your boy Kyle.
Kyle Shanahan was supposed to take that team and be a quick transition with John Lynch as the GM, but I think I'm going to have to go to Philadelphia 76ers route and trust the process, and this is not going to be an easy transition or an easy fix. Obviously, because they're 0-5, and the Redskins keep moving on. 3-2.
Gotcha. Moving on, Tampa Bay at Arizona. Interesting development here. Adrian Peterson moving to Arizona. That might be I mean, David Johnson and Adrian Peterson, I mean, with Carson Palmer in the pocket, I mean.
And here's the thing. Here's a stat that I saw this morning. Carson Palmer is second to Tom Brady with the most passing yards this season.
Yeah.
Which goes to show that there's not, they're 2-3, they have a losing record, but there's not an issue of offense production. It's just sealing the deal.
Sealing the deal.
Capitalizing in the red zone. And I think AP is going to help them with that, as well as it's, I just think they're up for a good couple wins here.
I can't remember who the last team they played was. I mean, maybe it was.
They lost last week to
the Titans?
No, because the Titans lost as well.
Right.
I think they played the Eagles last week.
They must have played. And they lost on the last drive.
Yeah, it was close.
This is a tough call, but I have faith in Jameis Winston and that Tampa Bay offense. I'm going Buccaneers over Cardinals.
Oh. See, I'm gonna reject that Cardinals.
It's too fresh for Adrian Peterson. He still has to develop with this new
team. I'm not even worried about Adrian Peterson. I just think that the Cardinals are going to start clicking here pretty soon.
Right.
That's my take, though.
That's your take. Yeah,
that's my take.
That's fair. All right, you got a hot offense.
Again, another surprising matchup here of 3-2.
This is an interesting one. You have the hot offense of Jared Goff and Todd Gurley with L.A., and then you have the amazing defense of the Jags with Leonard Fournette and LeGarrette Blount.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tough one. Man, I honestly can't pick that one. I don't know.
Okay, I've got... Man, I never thought I was going to say this for another 4 or 5 years, that the Jaguars were going to be good. But their last game against Pittsburgh, they beat them 30-9 with four interceptions.
Oh, there was five. Yeah, he threw five.
Might as well be five now. Who cares?
I think he threw five, yeah. It was his career high.
With two touchdown returns from those interceptions.
Two pick sixes.
And, hey, Jared Goff might be good, but that defense, when you get hot, you get hot. And it looks like there might be a second no-fly zone in the United States.
Possibly.
One over Colorado and one over just that little sliver in Jacksonville.
I'm going to go.
Jacksonville wins. Not 30-9, but Jacksonville wins 21-17.
Okay, so it's a closer game.
Yeah,
I'm gonna pick the Rams. I have a lot of confidence in the Rams offense. I think they're dynamic. They're just too good. Todd Gurley is
if they depend on Todd Gurley, if their rush game is up to par, they'll get it. But if they have to depend on some passes,
yeah, that makes sense. Corners
shut it down.
Their corners are good. Moving on, the undefeated Chiefs are battling the Steelers in Kansas City. I mean, another easy one, but this
Chiefs win.
If this is the game to lose, it might as well be the Steelers because they need that comeback win.
I don't know. I respectfully disagree.
I mean, I'm not saying they're going to lose, but if they're going to lose, this would be the week to do it, I think. Just because it's, I mean, 5-1,
I don't know. They looked bad against Jacksonville.
They got to bounce back some way, though. I mean,
they looked bad.
Their offense is really struggling with Ben Roethlisberger playing terribly against Jacksonville, along with Le'Veon Bell. And I mean, did you see AB? He was like throwing water coolers and being throwing a tantrum.
Yeah,
I mean, you just can't have that. I mean.
Yeah, I don't think this is their bounce back week against the Chiefs.
Okay.
Chiefs win. Like,
how about them Chiefs?
35-7.
Okay. Yep, I can agree with that. And after picking up their first week last week, the Chargers 1-4 are playing the Raiders.
Their first win, yeah.
I hate seeing the Raiders lose because I like Derek Carr, but you know he's out.
He's not playing.
He's out. Do you think the Chargers pick up their second win?
Yep.
Okay.
I think they pick it up, although they're not LA's team, hashtag go Rams. Philip Rivers has been, he every year, top five, always in passing yards. He passes and passes and passes and passes. I don't think the Raiders' offense is ready to respond. And secondly, when you win, it feels good. And I think they're going to roll into the black hole Raider Nation and give them a loss.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because, I mean,
I'm not going to say a score because it's just unpredictable.
Yeah, you have a veteran quarterback leading your offense, and Raiders really don't have one at the moment. So, yeah,
mm-hmm.
I could see the win happening for the Chargers. I just think the Raiders will win it. So,
and then we move on to the new Cleveland. The Giants are playing the Broncos Sunday night, which I'm sure NBC executives are kicking themselves right now.
Yeah.
Why did we think the Giants were going to be good this year?
New York is going to be the third team to go 0-6 this week. It's going to happen. I mean, no fly zone against – I mean, Eli can't get it done. You have four of your top wide receivers out. There's no way. That's no way.
I call this, though, five interceptions that game.
Five interceptions. Absolutely. I don't doubt it.
I think it's going to happen.
I don't doubt it. And then moving on to Monday Night Football, you have the Indianapolis Colts at the Tennessee Titans. Who do you got this game? They're both 2-3. They're both I think this is a very well-rounded match.
Is Andrew Luck back?
I think he's I saw him. I saw a video on Twitter.
He's practicing.
He's throwing again, so that's good. He's definitely recovered.
It's weird. I really have picked up your affinity for Marcus Mariota. I really like him a lot.
Yeah.
The Titans make me sad, though, that you've got such a good quarterback and you can't do anything.
Yeah.
I don't know. This game, I don't know. Maybe Chuck Pagano feels the pressure and this is like his game to shine.
What is he
in prime time?
What is he going to do? You either have Andrew Luck bounce back or it's a Marcus Mariota show.
Yeah.
I'm going with Tennessee.
You're going with Tennessee?
Okay.
I go with the Colts on the condition that Andrew Luck is back.
Okay.
If he's not playing.
Hey, Jacoby is great as well. He's a great second string.
Yeah, good second string. There we go. I don't know if I'd label
To take the reins, yeah.
Yeah. Titans if Andrew Luck's not back.
And that wraps it up for who's hot and who's not.
Teams on a bye this week.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Bills 3-2. Bengals 2-3, Cowboys 2-3, Seahawks 3-2. They're on a bye. Which, by the way, if there was a game that really disappointed me last week, it was the Bills losing to the Bengals 16-20.
Right.
Just.
That was one of the teams.
I want to believe in the Bills.
That was one of the teams where it was speculated that Kirk Cousins could go to that team if they were so choosing.
Ooh.
So.
Oh, that.
Could be interesting.
That would look nice.
One thing that plagued this week in football was injury setbacks. Two most notably, New York losing their top four wide receivers and Houston losing Merciless due to a chest injury and J.J. Watt suffering a plateau break. So,
ooh.
Do you think either of these teams will bounce back in any way once both teams acquire back their players that were on the IR or... Is it continued downfall?
Giants, no. Because this is the same. Ben McAdoo was under Tom Coughlin when that team was going south. And if you want to change up culture, if you want to change up environment, you need new people that have not been there before. And Ben McAdoo, I think, is just doing the same old, same old. They were going to pick up a couple wins with their receivers anyways, but that team is in no position to... be good.
Yeah. Shut
it down.
They're really in a trench.
Turn that into a Canadian Hockey League.
Toronto.
Or the Hockey League football team. And then if... It is so weird to put a whole team on Deshaun's back.
He is a great quarterback. There's no disputing that, though. He played so well.
I do not know
Hashtag
if...
Hashtag Heisman snub.
Yeah, that's true. Very true. I don't know if Deshaun Watson's going to be able to carry what's going to be missing from the defense. He's doing a great job surpassing expectations of how good he was supposed to be on offense this year.
Yeah, you can only do so much.
Under Bill O'Brien's system.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a... It's going to be hard. I would say, if anything, they're going to be the team that averages out and does okay.
Yeah, that's fair.
Not great. There's no bounce back from losing J.J. Watt.
Yeah.
There's no bounce back. But to mellow out with the hoodie, I think they're going to be the ones to do
it. Right. I think aside from them or Tennessee, they're going to be leading the AFC South. So.
Yep.
But Deshaun Watson, man, he's the new guy.
Not only a new guy, but good guy.
Good guy.
Good guy.
I'm here for a good time, not a long time.
That's
moving on to NCAA football.
Beep!
there's been a kind of a mix up in the top 10. Obviously.
Oh, I wonder why.
Obviously, you have your teams: Bama, Clemson, Penn State, Georgia, Washington. That's my team right there. I want them to dark horse up there.
TCU has sneaked in.
Yeah,
Wisconsin. So is Wisconsin.
Luke Falk with Washington State, Ohio State. They could stay up.
They're the only team in the top 10 with a one loss on them.
Right.
And that came to Oklahoma, but then Oklahoma decided that it wanted to keep its tradition. Now I consider it a tradition.
To plant their flag in the middle of the field.
Jeez.
That can really backfire on you.
That was cool for the moment because Ohio State sung in the middle of our field. I'm over that.
It's all school pride, that's all.
Jeez. But Oklahoma, 7 straight seasons. They've lost to a team in which they were favored to win double digits.
Remember when Bob Stoops was there?
Man. Remember when Bob Stoops also lost to an unranked Texas team that had their worst season in decades?
I think they're playing them this week.
They are. Red River Rivalry.
Yeah.
Red River Rivalry. Well, I'll say that 3 times
fast.
That's
a tongue twister.
But yeah, Oklahoma has a good spot. They were 3rd, and then they lost to Iowa State with their 3rd-string quarterback of all things. And
that's crazy.
If Oklahoma couldn't learn anything from Baylor last week, they may as well have just rolled over and died.
Right.
That was so frustrating.
They'll bounce back. Hashtag boomer sooner.
Thank you. But I'm in a pretty upset mood with Oklahoma right now.
Speaking of which, their quarterback is up for Heisman watch. There's been a little mix up there. It's been 2 years since a non-quarterback has won the Heisman. That was
okay.
Derrick Henry in 2015. Alabama won the national championship. Still up for Heisman watch is Barkley out of Oklahoma
State. No. Where's Barkley from?
Oh, Saquon Barkley out of Penn State.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
I misspelled it. Mayfield out of Oklahoma. Dante Pettis is not on the list, but he's my dark horse out of Washington. He's done
okay.
A great running back. He's he's returned so many punts.
They're in the top 10.
Yep. And then Lamar Jackson, obviously, a little further down the ranks just because he hasn't been performing as well.
Who's he with again?
Louisville.
Which they have their own problems.
Right, yeah. We won't get into that. And then Luke Falk out of Washington State, he's another very exciting, promising prospect to watch out of Washington State. And then Bryce Love, who's been running the field in Stanford, man. He has been doing amazing. Shades of Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
He's taking a note note of his book. Who's up on your radar for Heisman watch this season?
Mayfield would have been a shoo-in if he would have engineered a comeback against Iowa State.
Right.
But on 4th down, he just could not find the ball, the receiver, so I don't think he deserves it anymore.
Okay.
I'm just mad. I'm very mad.
And that's coming
him.
From a Sooners fan.
Yeah. You don't deserve it if you can't against unranked.
No mega stuff.
I feel it for Pettis.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a three-way tie, or it's a two-way tie between Falk and Love, both Pac-12 guys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Barkley is really just, he's solid. He'll run through anything. Is that a brick wall? No, I'll just step right through that. You know, it's just, he's unstoppable.
Mm-hmm.
He's reminiscent of Marshawn Lynch. He'll just lay your shoulder into you and,
yeah,
he's just incredibly fast.
I just don't think Barkley's going to get it because Penn State still has repercussions from what happened a couple years ago.
Yeah,
sexual and rape. Yeah, the sexual assault, it rape, whatever you want to call it. It's what happened on Penn State, and it keeps getting brought up again in the news that there's still some unresolved issues that still loom over that campus. And I think even though Barkley is solid and he's doing good for what he's been given,
all right,
of what that campus still represents, I don't think Barkley gets it.
It just doesn't go away. But yeah, hopefully Falk and Love can come into their own and really just duke it out, because that'd be amazing. I mean, Falk, I don't know if the Heisman is as much as a valuable player award, but like just outstanding performance.
Outstanding, yep.
Performance. I'd like to see Falk or Dante Pettis get it. You know, just because they're not.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, they're not as much as on the radar or on the news as much as the other teams.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, stats and numbers are going to catch eyes, obviously, but.
For sure.
Yeah, I'd like to see Falk get it, for sure. I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, when was the last time you saw Washington State in the top 10?
It's been a hot minute, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
Talking about top 10, I was looking over the schedule of this weekend's games, and the only team that looks like, that there might be an upset is Auburn at LSU.
Okay. LSU has not been doing too hot
lately. Let me hear what you have to think about that.
I mean, Auburn, they're up in the rankings now.
They're 10.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They're in the top 10. I'm not going to go as far as to say they haven't done as well.
Okay. They've not lost?
They haven't lost, no. Definitely a team to be reckoned with in the SEC. Not as good as when Cam Newton was there, that's for sure, just because he was leading that offense. I mean, that's a tough call, too, because LSU has been performing underwhelmingly for a while.
And they got scorched on national media for paying, what was that team, $1 million to come out on their home?
Oh, Troy, yeah.
Yeah, to pay Troy
$1 million. Why would you do that?
To come out, and then they played like garbage in front of homecoming crowd, and Troy made them pay for it.
Right, and they're just dancing all over the field.
Oh, my gosh.
I want to hear that happened recently when Northern Illinois beat Nebraska, and they paid them $980,000.
Yeah, Nebraska. I watched that game from start to finish, and Nebraska had nothing going for them that whole game.
It's just funny to see the audacity and like bold-faced confidence that some of these programs have. Like,
yeah,
we'll pay you X amount of dollars to humiliate you on our field, and then they just get it thrown back in their face. It's pretty satisfying.
But here's the thing that ticks me off, though, is that NIU had from that chance was like climbing up in the rankings big time, and they had a chance to break into the top 25, but then they lost to San Diego State, which was ranked 19th.
They're another hot team.
And they lost by a touchdown. And they were leading for most of that game.
Right.
So I was like, dang it, come on. Now we have two losses on the season. And I like the Huskies. They're always an underdog team. And they were featured on SportsCenter for a while when they were playing San Diego State, thinking that they were going to upset them. But they came close, but missed the mark. But at least they have an extra almost $1 million in their bank account now. Yeah.
They're going to need it because Illinois is broke. So.
Yeah. An NIU game win tax.
Yeah.
75% of the winnings.
I don't think an upset's going to happen just because LSU is not promising.
But no shakes up. No, well, excuse me. No shakeups this weekend.
No shakeups, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Let me tell you who needs a shakeup, okay?
Here we go. Hot take.
The U.S. men's national team, what the heck were they thinking?
What a disgrace. It was an utter embarrassment if I was...
They were complaining the day before about their practice that their field was too wet. Excuse me?
That's a legitimate response.
And I know you all have heard this from this past couple days from ESPN's soccer analyst, which I'm pulling kind of this attitude from.
Right.
But geez, seriously, we're the United States. We have and 13 million people, we can't find 11 to win a game for us.
This is the first time since, what, 86 or 84?
86.
86.
The Soviet Union was still around. There was still a thing called West Germany.
Reagan was president.
Reagan-O was president.
Oprah Winfrey debuted her show. I mean...
Stupid. Man. Stupid, stupid. Why can we... How have we not been able to figure out how to build a soccer program up? Not just that, but this trickles down to, like, youth soccer.
Right.
Like, now we've got these kids.
It has a bigger impact than people make it out to seem, you know?
And I love the way he phrased it. These tattooed millionaires are going to be walking the streets tomorrow like nothing even happened. These are the kind of losses that should make you tear off your uniform and do some soul searching.
Right. Rethinking.
Because you do not...
Reevaluating.
You do not deserve... You don't deserve to... wear that uniform to Trinidad Tobago. Isn't that they're not going to make it? They've already been thrown out from competition. They weren't going to make it. And I'm glad this was pointed out.
All right.
Even from 2016, when they were starting for the qualifying matches, the U.S. did not look good, and they did not make the appropriate changes. And we've got a great system in the MLS that's really starting to grow fast.
Right.
Dude.
And we have
get it together?
It's embarrassing, honestly.
Oh my gosh. I can't get up.
Disappointed, but not surprised.
Yeah, I want to root for soccer.
Right.
Even when I always have fun going to the restaurants and bars with my friends, cheering on the U.S. men's team the past couple. The last time I was underage, so that didn't happen.
Right.
Wasn't a bar; it was a restaurant. But still,
that's the thing with soccer is because it's a national thing, and everyone's on your side. You know.
Come on, man. Stupid.
And that'll be on Shacked into Fool.
Shacked into Fool. The U.S. men's team at it again.
What are you doing? JaVale?
JaVale, is that you? Oh boy, he's on the show a lot.
Oh, man.
Jeez.
Well, that is going to conclude this episode of Sports 360. Thank you again for joining us.
Yeah, I don't want to end it on such a bad, you know, a sad note, but you need to know that your soccer team failed you.
Yeah.
So... I guess if there's any team that I'm going to be rooting for now, it's the hashtag Iceland Smites.
Right.
I hope they... That would be so fun.
What kind of name is that?
Iceland. They're in it.
Yeah.
So I hope
they... Smallest country to ever make it, so...
Yeah.
Rooting for the underdog, literally.
Yep.
But, yeah, thanks again for
tuning
in.
Guys, have a great week. We love doing this, and if you guys got any feedback or tweet us a story that we should... cover, let us know at RVC Valley Forge or at JHoliday97 or r_WillFox. That's it. There's no numbers next to me.
Right.
But yeah, have a great week and we'll catch you next Thursday.
Out.
Bye.